good afternoon and welcome to the Peter Mac Show, another show on this Republic Broadcasting Network. Today is September 9th, 2 days before the 6th anniversary of 9/11, of course. This is the show dedicated to the promotion of individual rights as exemplified in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And my special guest today is Larkin Rose, and he is the most frequent guest I've ever had on since the beginning of my radio show. I think I had him on some 21 times back when I was doing the show from KCXL in Liberty, Missouri, and had him on maybe once since I've been here with the Republic Broadcasting Network. Many of you may know Larkin Rose and associate his name with the tax honesty movement or the 861 issue, but today we're really not going to discuss those. He has come on the show instead to discuss political philosophy and, in particular, a book that he wrote less than a year ago and that you can now purchase. And so I'll let him tell you the title of that book, and we'll jump right into it. So, Larkin, welcome to the Peter Mac Show again, and give us the complete title of your book, if you would.
Sure. It's called How to Be a Successful Tyrant. And the subtitle is The Megalomaniac Manifesto.
Okay.
And it's written to be just what it sounds like. It's a manual for people who want to control the world.
Okay.
Now, I don't actually want more people trying to do that, and I think we have plenty, and I don't really think I'm going to convince anybody to do that. It is written in that framework so that people can try to get into the mind of the really nasty, evil people who are out there who think like this. They think, how do I control people? You know, if you watch a movie or you read a comic book, the villains you see are completely unrealistic and completely unbelievable. They sit there wringing their hands, I am going to rule the world, ha ha ha. Nobody does that in front of anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so any megalomaniac with half a brain cell says, I cannot let the people know what I want. Because one, they won't give me power, and two, if I grab power, they'll shoot me. So I have to get it by other means. And if you start, see, so many people look at the government thinking, well, it's trying to do well, and it's trying to solve this problem, and gee, it's not very good at it, but at least they're trying, and we want this program, and they'll try this. Well, they'll try a war on drugs because they don't like the drug problem, and a war on poverty because they're trying to help poor people. But if you start from a different premise and think, if I was really nasty and evil, I didn't care about anybody else, I just loved my own power and nothing else, what would I do? You know, how would I behave? What plans would I come up with? And because I can't just go out there and say, hey, everybody, I want to rule you, because they won't let me. So what would I do? What steps would I go through to achieve the power I want? And that's what the book is. It describes how somebody like that would get into power and achieve power. And hopefully the people who read it by the end will notice, wow, what we would end up with is exactly what we have if really nasty people set about trying to achieve power for themselves.
Okay. Are there some people that, even if they disagree with you on the purpose of government or the power of, or what government's role should be, have, you know, honorable intentions, even if they disagree with you on the use of government and so forth, they have honorable intentions? Or, and how can we tell? I mean, look at the 535 people of Congress. I mean, the only one I really respect in there is Ron Paul. But I don't know that the others are nasty, evil people. I think maybe, in my opinion, they may just be grossly misled about their function and what they can do for people.
Right. And the tough part is,
okay, the music tells us we're due for a break, Larkin. Sorry. Hold that thought, and we'll be right back here in just a couple minutes, folks. Stay with us. You're listening to the Peter Mac Show on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network, and my show is called The Peter Mac Show. I'm Peter McCandless, your host. My special guest with me today is Larkin Rose, and we are discussing his book entitled How to Be a Successful Tyrant. Larkin, I posed for you just before the break the possibility, at least, that not everybody in, say, Congress of the United States, although I don't have respect for any of them except Ron Paul, really fits the description of, you know, an evil, nasty person who is has nothing but his own interests, or, you know, perpetuation or enlargement of his own power as his motivation. And you were about to respond to that.
Right. The challenge is that picture two people going into public office, and one of them really does care about the poor, really does care about keeping the country secure, you know, isn't just out for himself, wants to actually help, wants to be a public servant. The other guy just wants power for himself, doesn't care about anything else. Okay. How do you tell the difference? Well, the first thing you do is ignore what they say.
Right.
Because they're both going to say, I'm just here for you, I'm here to serve you. The tyrant's not going to say, I'm here because I like power.
Right.
You know, they're not that stupid. Hitler wasn't that stupid. Stalin wasn't that stupid. Mao wasn't that stupid. They all went and said, oh, I love my country, and I'm going to do great things to fix it.
Right.
You know, there's a quote, and my tyrant book is full of quotes, both of pro-freedom people and tyrants. And one of them is Mao Zedong, who murdered I don't know how many millions of people, saying, I want you to know everything I did for my country.
Right.
No, he didn't, you lying psycho. You did it for yourself.
Right.
But they're not going to say that. So back to our example, we have two people in office. They're both going to talk as if they're caring and compassionate and they're concerned about these problems. In our example, one of them is, and one of them is lying through his teeth.
Right.
So how do you tell? You can't tell by them saying what their motives are because they're both going to say they have good motives.
Right.
The only way to tell, and that's a lot of what the Tyrant book is about, is look at the outcome. Look at how what they end up advocating. Because if you address a problem and think, all right, what's the best way to do this? And you try one thing and you try something else and you have different outcomes. You look for patterns in what the people advocate. For example, gun control.
Mm-hmm.
We're so concerned about crime and it's horrible out there and we need reasonable gun control. Anybody in Washington, D.C. who says that is a liar and a tyrant. And the reason is they have at their fingertips all of the information, all of the statistics that show that gun control increases crime.
Right.
They know this stuff. Now, if somebody just went in and was totally clueless and said, we got to get these guns off our street, I could believe, yeah, maybe you have good intentions and you just don't quite know how things work.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the only way to tell. What do they consistently advocate? If all of their solutions to all these problems are always more government power and less freedom, that ought to tell you something.
Yep.
And completely ignore what they say their motives are, because you can read speeches from Hitler and speeches from Stalin, speeches from all the really nasty tyrants in history, and aside from being in different languages, they sound exactly like every speech you'll hear from American politicians. We care about this, and we really have to get tough on crime, or we have to protect ourselves against foreigners, or whatever the supposed problem is. But look at what it is they propose, not what they say the reason is, but what it is they propose. If what they propose is always more government power and less freedom, that's the dead giveaway. And if people still will believe that they have good intentions, when that's always what comes out the other end, it's just a guarantee that tyrants are always going to win because people will keep falling for the same old tricks.
Well, and we live in a country where most people believe, I think, that the government does have good intentions, and they do keep electing these people. Everybody sort of scratches their head and complains. You know, it's often said, I don't know if it's true, Larkin, that people kind of like their own representative or senator, and they hate all the other ones.
Right.
People often say that about their schools. Well, my school is pretty good for my kid, but public education in general is bad. So somehow the masses seem to be duped into thinking, even though we're getting bad results consistently, somehow if we just tweak the system a little bit more this way or that way or whatever way, and of course the Democrats and Republicans fight about that all the time, how much government control, whether to have a tax cut or not, and so forth, and people sort of line up on either side, and those candidates in those parties keep getting elected, and in my view, there's less and less difference between them all the time.
Right, and the big disadvantage that normal people have is we're not evil. We don't think like evil people. You know, I kind of compare it to the guy who, you know, the scumbag who calls up elderly people and says, oh, there's a problem with your account, I need your credit card number, and then robs them blind. And, of course, they talk all nice. Oh, it's a problem. It's easy to solve. It's all right. I'm just here to help, and they're all friendly. And they're there trying to get the number to rip them off.
Right.
And the problem is, this, you know, nice elderly lady picks up the phone. Oh, here's this sweet-sounding guy. He's concerned that there might be a problem. It doesn't occur to her to think, I wonder if he's an evil liar. Because she's not an evil liar. It doesn't immediately come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing is true when people look at those who seek and achieve high offices. They don't think, wow, I wonder if he's an evil scumbag, because they aren't evil scumbags. They could imagine themselves being in a position of power and thinking, well, how could I help people, or how could I do this?
Right.
so they don't associate, it doesn't occur to them what people would do who are completely evil in the same position. And that's what the Tyrant book is about. If somebody really is completely compassionless, completely selfish, doesn't care what he does to anybody else, what would he do? What would he behave? What would, you know, how would he behave and what would he advocate?
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually had a lot of people read the book who didn't think about these things before and sort of thought that government was just sort of incompetent and bad at solving problems.
Mm-hmm.
But then said, wow, it really does match if you look at what we have and you look at the results of if we had really evil people in power, they match exactly. And that's really creepy because, you know, we want to think that they're nice people who want to help us and who want to solve these problems. And maybe they're not good at it. You know, maybe they botch things up from incompetence or whatever. But we don't like to think, wow, they're really evil, nasty people. And we naturally don't think that way if we're not evil ourselves. You know, if we're not out to rob our neighbors and if we don't love dominion over others, we don't naturally think of these things.
Right.
So we look at the failures and think, wow, that's unfortunate that, you know, this war on drugs doesn't seem to be working and the war on poverty doesn't seem to be working and the war on this doesn't seem to be working and the, you know, all these solutions, it's so unfortunate they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not evil enough to have it just naturally occur to us. Maybe they don't work because they weren't designed to work.
Mm-hmm.
They were designed to not work and to perpetuate the problem forever, thereby giving a source of power to those in government.
Right.
And so hopefully the book will sort of, because I know a bunch of people said they started reading it and they didn't get it. You know, when they got the book, it was like, why is there a manual for tyrants? I don't want to be a tyrant. Oh, well. Because it seems like such a dumb thing. Well, I don't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
You know, how to be a brain surgeon. If you don't want to be a brain surgeon, you don't pick up the book.
Right.
But a bunch of people who didn't get it read a few pages and said, I'm starting to get the point here. This isn't telling me how to do it. It's telling me how it's being done to me.
Right.
And the, you know, down to the detail, the words they use, the everything about their appearance, the way they spread the message, everything they do is exactly what somebody would do who is really evil and cared only about his own power. And if people can see that and still be determined to talk themselves into, no, they're good, they have to be good, they're our government, they have to be good. They're just not very good at what they do, but they have good intentions.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the people of Germany said, what the people of Russia said, Cambodia, China, Rwanda. You know, well, they're trying, but they just...
Right.
They're just not doing a very good job. And by the time it gets to the point of realizing, wow, these people are completely evil, it's too late to do anything. Because it's, you know, to the point where you have a complete totalitarian police state, the people are usually disarmed by then. And when stuff gets really nasty, it's too late. And then they say, wow, I guess Stalin really was a bad guy after all. And Hitler really was a bad guy. And people wonder how could the Third Reich have happened? How could Hitler have done this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know if it's funny or sad. It's more sad, but I'd rather laugh than cry. When you read Hitler's speeches, he sounds exactly like American politicians.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about there are threats to our, you know, our country. And we have to defend ourselves and we want peace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not out for conquest or any of that. We just want peace and justice.
Mm-hmm.
And every tyrant says this.
All right.
But people want, it's so scary to face the possibility that here we are sitting in a country and the people live in Washington with just enormous power, you know, influence, money. It's really scary to think those people are just as evil as Stalin and Mao and Hitler.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be back with Larkin Rose discussing his book, How to Be a Successful Tyrant, in just a couple minutes.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Back to the Peter Mac Show. My special guest, Larkin Rose, on the line with us today, and we're discussing his book, How to Be a Successful Tyrant, The Megalomaniac Manifesto. Larkin, do you think Americans, this is probably an obvious question, obvious answer is yes, but how do you think Americans, we view our politicians, our leaders in whatever capacity different than other people around the world? And I mean, I'm just wondering to what extent that's due to our public schooling system. We're the greatest country in the world, and I think we are in some ways. And I think we started out as the freest country in the world. And it's been sort of a downhill slide since then. What are your thoughts?
Right. What's really sad, one of the biggest tools that tyrants use is nationalism and patriotism. We love our country. We're the great group. They're the bad guys. And for a long time, there was actually reason to be proud of this country. You know, we really were the freest. And in some ways, we still are. In a lot of ways, we're not anymore. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of things, something good is often used as a tool of tyrants to gain power. Like, people like America. It's kind of funny because they can't usually say what it is they like. Is it the government? Is it the place? Is it the people? And sometimes they say, well, it's kind of the idea of of freedom.
Right.
And I say, well, that's nice, but what does that have to do with, you know, what the country is now, because it's dying. The freedom's dying. So what is it, you know, if it's the freedom you're devoted to, should be really mad at the government. But people have this patriotism that's sort of vague. They don't really know what it is they love, but they love something about the country. And that is used against them. Just like, you know, their compassion for the poor is used by tyrants to create welfare states, not to help the poor, but to create government power.
Right.
The people's, you know, how much they dislike the nasty criminals that go around hurting people. And the tyrants use that as a form of power, not to actually reduce crime, but to have people scared and to give government more power. Mm-hmm. And fear of anything bad or any good motive that people have is a potential tool for tyrants. And nationalism and patriotism is a huge one. And if you, like I said, if you read Hitler's speeches, he was very big on patriotism and nationalism and how great our country is.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really weird is that, and that the book gets into this, is that it seems like everybody on the planet can look at the tyrant of the next country over and say, wow, he's obviously a tyrant. He cares about himself and nobody else. Why can't you people who he's subjugating see that? And then you ask the same person, well, what about yours? Oh, ours is good. You know, they're not all that efficient, but they mean well.
Right.
And every country says that because they're indoctrinated into this nationalist idea that loyalty to the government and love of the country are the same thing. And the book actually contrasts two statements, one by a tyrant, one by an anti-tyrant. The tyrant being Bill Clinton, who said, you can't say you love your country, but you hate your government.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hell, I can't.
Right.
And the other is Thomas Jefferson, who said, it is the duty of the patriot to protect his country from its government.
Right.
And every tyrant in every country wants to hijack that love of the country, whatever it is, the love of the place or the people or an idea or something. You know, people are attached to where they grow up. And
right.
to the culture they're used to and to the people they know. And just like everything else, tyrants will use that as a tool to increase their own power. And so the government will take that love of country and tell people that's the same as love of the government. You know, when you wave that flag, you're swearing allegiance to the republic. That's us.
Mm-hmm.
You have to love us. We're the government of this country. Without us, there isn't a country. So we expect loyalty and devotion from you. Because we're the people, we're the country. And what I find really sad is that these tyrant tricks have been around forever. You know, there are quotes in the book dating back literally thousands of years that describe how tyrants work. When the tyrant first appears, he appears as a savior.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't show up saying, I like to rule people. He shows up saying, there's a horrible problem, I will save you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the quote from Nietzsche, who said, I forget the whole thing word for word, it's in the book, that the state, meaning government, is the coldest of all cold monsters, and from its mouth this lie issues, I, the state, am the people. And that's exactly...
I, the state, and the people, or...
Am the people.
Am the
in
people.
Other words,
okay.
The government is us.
Right.
And as long as people can be duped into thinking that, they sort of can't all the way get mad at the government. They think, well, we got to elect better people next time.
Right.
Instead of saying, wait a minute, you're not me. You take my property. You tell me what to do. How are you me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people are over here getting all these commands, getting robbed, getting controlled, and the people in D.C. are doing the commanding and robbing.
Mm-hmm.
But the propaganda of the tyrants in any country throughout all of history is we are you, we represent you. And
right.
So it's just a way to try to psychologically control the way people think so that they don't resist. And the funny example I give is if we were to be invaded by China and they...
Sorry, can you hold on to the example?
Sure.
We're due for another break here. Just hold that thought, Larkin. We'll be back here in a couple minutes, folks. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Do you know what you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Hey, welcome back to the Peter Mac Show. Thanks for tuning in here to the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Peter McCallis, and my special guest today with me is Larkin Rose, and we're discussing his book, How to Be a Successful Tyrant. Larkin, you were just about to give an example or a quote about China, I believe?
Right, because the example of the government pretending it's us, pretending it represents us, pretending it serves us, and an analogy I use is, imagine we get invaded by China. First of all, they'd fail horribly because of the amount of guns that citizenry have, but let's pretend they disappeared. They win, they come in, and they say, you can keep working, but half of what you earn, you give to us.
Right.
There would be vicious resistance. They would never be able to keep that in place. But when American tyrants do it and say, oh, we represent you, we're serving you, mm-hmm. people grumble a little bit and they hand it over.
Right.
It's not, and so this, so much of what, of the tricks of tyrants aren't about, you know, open thuggery and you know, we're going to crush you and smash you. It's about thought control. It's about changing the way people view things. You know, the really simple version, like I said before, is the guy who calls up elderly people and tries to trick them into giving their social security number, I mean, their credit card numbers. They don't call up and say, I'm going to come punch you if you don't give it to me. They sound all nice, and they trick them into viewing that person as their friend, mm-hmm. somebody who wants to help them. And the vast majority of tyrant tricks have nothing to do with open violence anymore, because that works if your subjects are completely disarmed and you have a huge military. It doesn't work in this country.
Right.
You know, when you have 80 million people with guns, you cannot be openly tyrannical and live.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to trick people, and you have to indoctrinate them, and you have to get control of the messages they hear and train them to look at things a certain way. And it's really creepy how, you know, you hear about conspiracies of thought control and mm-hmm. and propaganda and stuff, but they do it right out in the open. It's not even, you know, it's not like some secret thing we'd never noticed. You listen to any political speech or any campaign, and it's just full of stuff that if you examine it analytically and objectively, you say, wow, he didn't say anything.
Right.
There was no actual factual information. It was all feel-good propaganda.
Right.
They're salesmen. They're selling themselves. Give us power because blah, blah, blah. And the blah, blah, blah is never specific. It's a I'm for progress and better health care. And, you know, what does that mean? Who's for worse health care?
Right.
I'm for going backwards and increasing crime. They all come out and say, I'm for great stuff.
Right.
Okay, and what are you going to do? You know, why didn't you say anything about what you're going to do? Anybody could get up on the podium and say, I'm for, you know, I'm for good stuff and against bad stuff.
Right.
Well, good for you. And what are you going to do? Well, they don't say what they're going to do because their only goal is not to convey information, not to give away their plan, but to trick people into thinking that they're our friends.
All right.
That they care
now,
about
here,
us.
Go ahead.
No, that was it.
Oh.
That they care about us and that they want good things to happen.
Right. Here we are 2 days before the sixth anniversary of 9/11, Larkin, and I've had a fellow, Jim Hoffman, on my show a couple of times talking about 9/11 and so forth, and I happen to believe that the government story is hogwash. I don't know what the truth is. I don't know really how those buildings came down. I just don't believe the official position. And when I talk to people about this and present the evidence that refutes the government's claims on how the buildings fell and what happened and so forth, people, without looking at the evidence, will often say, well, what would be the motive of the government or what would be their motive? As if I have to answer that to show to provide refutation of the evidence that the government provides. But it seems to me it's the idea that, you know, our government could have been involved in 9/11 either through ignoring evidence that, you know, people were going to do what happened willfully, Arab terrorist or whatever, or directly orchestrating it. Whether you do that, that isn't a possibility in their mind. That is inconceivable. And so it's very hard to look at evidence that might point in that direction when you've already made up your mind that the conclusion of such evidence is beyond the pale.
Right. And that's completely a result of indoctrination. Because if somebody said, for example, some bigwig in a corporation arranged it because he thought he would get something, most Americans would go, oh, really? Because
right.
they've been indoctrinated, big corporations evil, government good.
Right. Right.
And even though they're the same people, and they, you know, they hang out at lunch and they, you know, get elected and then they go, you know, they go back and forth. But people so much don't want to consider the possibility that people in government would be that evil. And I like to back up and say, all right, you can debate about what did happen on 9/11, you know, and there's a million people who know way more than I do, you know, about all the physics involved and all the details and all the evidence and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start with the question, would people in the United States government do this? Not did mm-hmm. they, but are they even capable of it?
Mm-hmm.
And the example that still just completely dumbfounds me and just amazes me is the fact that the term Operation Northwoods is not a household term that everybody
right.
knows. These were publicly released documents 3 months before 9/11 NBC ran the story about declassified documents in which all of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under JFK advocated using terrorism against U.S. soldiers and U.S. citizens to blame it on Cuba to get support for a military invasion of Cuba.
Right.
And nobody disputes that these documents are valid.
Right.
The government says, yep, here they are. They got them with the Freedom of Information Act. They declassified them. I think whoever declassified them probably wasn't paying very close attention to what he was declassifying, because I can't imagine them doing that on purpose. But we have these plans. If you search for Operation Northwoods on the Internet, you can get PDF scans of them. They're all over the place.
Well, you sent me one, and Larkin, let me just take a few minutes to give some quotes from the actual documents.
Sure, that'd be great.
So people, and if you want to get a copy of this document, it's a PDF. I have it, so all you have to do is send me an email to peter@petermaxshow.com if you haven't seen that. And I'm now on page 10, and the heading of the page is Annex to Appendix to Enclosure, Pretext to Justify U.S. Military Intervention in Cuba. And item number one says, since it would seem desirable to use legitimate provocation as the basis for U.S. military intervention in Cuba, a cover and deception plan to include requisite preliminary action such as has been developed in response to Task 33 could be executed as an initial effort to provoke Cuban reactions. And it goes on a bit. Number two says, a series of well-coordinated incidents will be planned to take place in and around Guantanamo to give genuine appearance of being done by hostile Cuban forces. A, incidents to establish a credible attack. Number one, start rumors, many, use clandestine radio. Number two, land friendly Cubans in uniform, quote, over the fence to stage attack on base. In other words, they would have Cubans who were conspirators in this plan, you know, come over the fence into Guantanamo Bay, which is U.S. territory, and, you know, play the role of attacking. Number three, capture Cuban saboteurs inside the base. Number four, start riots near the base main gate, friendly Cubans. Number five, blow up ammunition inside the base, start fires. Number six, burn aircraft on air base, sabotage. Number seven, lob mortar shells from outside of base into base, some damaged installations. Number eight, capture assault teams approaching from the sea or vicinity of Guantanamo City. Number nine, capture militia groups which storm the base. Number 10, sabotage ship in harbor, large fires, naphthalene, must be a chemical that burns, sink ship near harbor entrance, conduct funerals for mock victims. United States would respond by executing offensive operations to secure water and power supplies, destroying artillery and mortar emplacements which threaten the base. Commence large-scale United States military operations. Number three, A, quote, remember the main incident could be arranged in several forms. A, we could blow up a U.S. ship in Guantanamo Bay and blame Cuba. Number B, we could blow up a drone vessel anywhere in the Cuban waters. We could arrange to cause such incident in the vicinity of Havana or Santiago as a spectacular result of Cuban attack from the air or sea or both. I'll skip down. Number four, we could develop a communist Cuban terror campaign in the Miami area and in other Florida cities and even in Washington. The terror campaign could be posted at Cuban refugees seeking haven in the United States. We could sink a boatload of Cubans en route to Florida, real or simulated. We could foster attempts on lives of Cuban refugees in the United States, even to the extent of wounding in instances to be widely publicized. Exploding a few plastic bombs in carefully chosen spots, the arrest of Cuban agents, and the release of prepared documents substantiating Cuban involvement would also be helpful in projecting the idea of an irresponsible government. So there you have it. The Northwood document says top secret special handling, Joint Chiefs of Staff, 13 March 1962. There you have it, folks.
And
so if you want to get a copy of that, just send me an email and I'll forward that PDF to you. Go ahead, Larkin.
And this was not just some wacko in back office of the Pentagon who said, let's do this. All of the Joint Chiefs of Staff signed off on that. All of them.
Mm.
Now, nobody seems to be able to find the document of who actually said no. The theory is that JFK himself said...
That's what I'd heard,
that.
Yeah. But we don't know for sure.
Right. We
is
don't have
right?
documentation, but we have the signatures of all of the Joint Chiefs of Staff saying, yep, let's do that. Let's mm-hmm. endanger and or kill innocent people to get mm-hmm. public support. And there's another related thing called Operation Mongoose that went along with that, that had even, you know, even more stuff in it about mm-hmm. what to do. But notice they're talking about not only blowing up a U.S. military ship, mm-hmm. and notice how cavalierly they said, well, it can be fake or real, you know,
right.
it can really be killing people, or it can be a fake boat, we don't care.
Right.
You know, that is what a tyrant thinks like. He
right.
doesn't care. It's just, it's a parenthetical phrase, real or imagined.
Right.
You know,
right.
murder people or not, what do we care?
Right.
That is the way a tyrant thinks, and that is what's so hard for the average American to relate to. Just how, nobody can think that way. You can't be
right.
that just callous and inhuman to just in, sort of in a passing phrase say, well, maybe we'll kill him or maybe do a fake. Doesn't really matter.
Right.
But they're talking about doing terror campaigns in Miami and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, and the further on, it's not worth reading because it's pretty long, but they talk about hijacking planes.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll pretend it's a civilian plane, and we'll paint a plane to look just like it.
Right.
And the documents go into detail all about this. We'll make it look just like it. We'll blame it on the Cubans. We'll say somebody else did it. And what just stuns me and creeps me out, this was reported and revealed by NBC 3 months before 9/11. They've never mentioned it since.
Yeah.
You get a document wherein the U.S. government talks about a plan that they almost did, if not for JFK or whoever it was who pulled the plug.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the military people were on board. All of the higher-ups were on board.
Mm-hmm.
A plan that involved executing terrorist acts on U.S. soil against Americans in order to blame a foreign enemy as an excuse to get into a war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you cannot tell me that anybody in the media, 3 months later, wouldn't go, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
They just blamed somebody for a terrorist act on U.S. soil, somebody who hasn't claimed credit yet, and they use it as an excuse to go to war.
Right.
Nobody in the mainstream media ever mentioned it or ever suggested it or ever made the connection. I mean, even just said, wow, you know, look at this. They were talking about right. doing that before. To not say that is the dead, I mean, it's what I said before. If you want to know who the tyrants are, don't listen to what they say about their own motives. Look at what they do.
Right.
If you think the U.S. media is not a wing of the federal government, you explain to me why 3 months before 9/11 happened, these declassified documents showed the United States government planning terrorist acts against Americans as an excuse to get into war. And 3 months later, nobody in the media remembered that?
Right.
Nobody said, wait a minute, this sounds a lot like what just happened. Even
yeah,
just pondering it, even just asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot tell me that it
right.
didn't occur to any of them.
Well, and as you probably recall, on 9/11, as those buildings came down, various news commentators like Peter Jennings said things like, you know, that looks like a controlled demolition. I mean, they were just speaking off the top of their heads as they observed what we observed.
Right.
And that discussion died out quickly among mainstream media. And also, we all remember that Bush said, you know, we're going to get Osama bin Laden. This is the handiwork of Osama bin Laden. But if you go to the FBI's website right today, I haven't checked it today, but I checked it about a week ago, and you look up, I could probably do it here online, and you look up the most wanted terrorist, you indeed find Osama bin Laden on that website, but he's not wanted for 9/11. He's wanted for terrorist activities outside the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody contends that he's not a bad guy, but if we're so certain that he was behind 9/11, why isn't he wanted for that as well? That's and what I've heard, I don't have firsthand of this, Larkin, but what I've heard is somebody called the FBI to ask him that, and the FBI's response is that's because we have no hard evidence that he was involved with 9/11. And yet Bush told the whole world that within 2 days afterwards.
Right, and how did he magically know that? Like, they can't find him, but they magically know he did it.
Right.
Even though they still can't present the evidence. But that one of the things you said brings up a huge tool that tyrants use, which is Castro is a really bad guy. You know, I would have loved for him to get his head blown off 2 minutes after he took office down in Cuba.
Right.
Saddam Hussein, really bad guy.
Right.
I would have liked his head to be blown off 2 days after he got into power. Osama bin Laden, probably really bad guy. The trouble is, when people see these problems, hardly anybody can think, that's a problem, that's bad, and I do not want government doing their so-called solution. Because their solution does not exist because he's a bad guy. It exists because people in government want power. And to me,
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just had to interrupt you again, Larkin, for the commercial coming up here. So stay with us, folks. We'll be back with Larkin Rose and his book, How to Be a Successful Tyrant, the topic of our discussion today. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar-powered generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Welcome back to the Peter Mac Show. We're just about to wrap up the first hour here with my special guest, Larkin Rose, and we're discussing his book, How to Be a Successful Tyrant, The Megalomaniac Manifesto. If you want to call into the show, the lines are open. The phone number to call in is area code 800 800-313-9443. Again, that's 800-313-9443. And if you have any feedback for me, or if you want to get a copy of the document we were just discussing, the Northwoods document, I have it on in a PDF document that Larkin graciously sent me, and I can just forward that to you. So send me an email at peter@petermaxshow.com, and I'll forward that on to you. Larkin, as is always the case with the commercials, we interrupted you, and if you can pick up with your thought again, that would be great.
I was just talking about how hard it is for most people to say, yes, there is a problem, a serious problem, and no, I do not want the government solution. And so the examples of Saddam Hussein or Castro with the Northwoods thing, mm-hmm. these nasty people who it would be nice to do something about them, preferably get them off the planet,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't occur to people that our own tyrants will use it to increase their own power, that they don't really care about the bad things happening. Everything to them is an opportunity for power. And mm-hmm. One of the saddest examples I'd give is World War II. A lot of people fought and died fighting a genuinely evil empire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Adolf Hitler was a horrible person. I wish he died a whole lot sooner than he did. And everybody, yay, we won, we're victorious. And during the party, we sort of failed to notice that the United States basically gave half of Europe to the worst mass murderer in history, Joseph Stalin. While
right.
calling him Uncle Joe in the propaganda.
Right.
That shows the American tyrants couldn't care less about justice
mm-hmm.
or who's dying and who's suffering. They had a party about defeating the third worst mass murder in history, and they gave half of Europe to Stalin, mm-hmm. who killed way more than Hitler did.
Right.
And no notice. You know, you ask the average American, who's the worst mass murderer in history? Hitler.
Right.
They think that because Hitler wasn't our ally.
Right.
Fighting him would help the American tyrants. Fighting Stalin, that wouldn't have helped them.
Right.
Because he was a buddy of ours. He was an ally
right.
of the American tyrants. So
right.
we're going to downplay. We're going to call him Uncle Joe.
Mm-hmm.
What a disgusting, insane thing to say about the worst mass burner in history. He's our buddy, FDR and Uncle Joe. They get along really
right.
well.
Right.
And Americans don't know this. Because they were propagandized by the government and the media that repeats the propaganda. And they could so easily see the evils of Hitler that, you know, one in a million wouldn't back up and say, wait a minute, why is the government doing this? You know, we know Hitler's a bad guy. We want him dead. You know, the people who went over there and fought him, good for you. Way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened afterwards? And even American generals said the Russian army was gone by then, having
yeah, wasn't,
switched
wasn't
sides.
It wasn't it Patton that wanted to march on
That's
from
right.
Berlin to
yeah,
to the
Patton
Soviet
said,
Union?
Well, let's go get Stalin. He's right over there.
Right.
Their
right.
army is completely demolished because they switched sides halfway through the war and had to fight both of us.
Right.
So we can go right in and get him. And the U.S. government said, nope, we like that tyrant.
Right. Hold on with us, folks. We'll be back in a couple minutes, and you can call into the show if you want to talk to us.